I've had the privilege of knowing this guy. Man, you're getting old.
I am.
62.
62. You still got it on me, though.
Oh, I do. Oh, yeah. I'm still older. Yeah, that won't change. But I have had the privilege of watching this guy over many years. When he first came around, he was a graphic artist.
Yeah.
I remember that way back in the old days, huh?
Yep.
That's way back. And then God called him. He came on at Calvary Finger Lakes. He oversaw the children's ministry. And then God called him and sent him to Canada. Okay? Yeah.
Where's Todd?
Yeah, he's back there somewhere. I saw Todd. Where's he hiding? Okay. Powdering his nose. That's what happened when he went to Canada.
Any Canadians?
Hey, I abuse everybody. Don't worry about it. Okay, but seriously, he went up to Canada. God called him to go up there, and then he's back with us down here in Honeyoy Falls, Calvary Chapel Southside. So it is my privilege and my pleasure to introduce to you. He teaches in our school. We're so thankful as he comes and teaches one of the classes. Hence, you see all of these guys here. Don't be afraid to pick on them, okay? What's that?
He designed one of the best WZXT bumper stickers.
Yeah.
He did, yeah. The graphic artist in him still, yeah.
I like your new ones, man.
So let's welcome Pastor Jim Lagnese from Calvary Chapel Southside. Jim, God bless you. I know we're not supposed to stink. I don't care. God bless
you. I don't either. Thanks. You know, I was over here talking to one of the Bible college guys, and I said, I feel sorry for you guys because this is the second time you're going to have me today. And the guy goes, hey, we got Tony all the time, you know, so. Well, we're going to start in Hebrews 9:28. We're going to jump around. I'm going to go really fast. I'm going to go line for line, but we're going to jump around a little bit. But Hebrews 9:28, Hebrews happens to be the book we're going over in the college together.
Yeah, we just did this.
Yeah?
You weren't listening the first time.
So we're reviewing everything we did this morning, okay? There's a quiz. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to bless your word. We ask you to open our ears, open our hearts, and give us understanding. We want to be men who can discern the signs of the times. We want to be men that you call for your purpose. And Lord, we want to be in ministry, Lord. We want to be at your beck and call. So fill us with the Holy Spirit tonight, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So the expression, them that look for him, means those who eagerly wait for him. And my question is, is that you? Are you eagerly waiting for him? Because, you know, we're waiting for him, but are you eagerly waiting for him? Because it's a description of all the true believers. So if the Lord's people are really looking for him to return, they're going to understand the signs of the times. You look what's going on out there today. Don't you want to know what's going on? Don't you want to be able to discern the signs of the times and things? So not everybody agrees on the order of the events, you know, and the Lord's coming back and everything, but we know it soon. We're in this season of many divine realignments, we could say. And in the Bible, there's this unique group of guys that's always, they always knew what to do and when to do it. Now, this group of men had such perception and wisdom that the whole nation followed these guys, and they waited for their example. They were called the sons of Issachar. I know you've heard of these guys before. One of the 12 tribes of Israel. Every believer, I believe, needs to be a son of Issachar. We need to discern the signs of the times, what's going on around us. All of us, I think. We don't want to miss out on what God is doing. You know, they studied the movements of the stars. They studied the planets. They understood chronological time. They were responsible for calling the whole nation together when the stars aligned, literally, because the Jewish feasts are based on the lunar calendar. Nation gathered to worship God on specific days on the heavenly calendar. Now, when the signs and the wonders happened in the heavens, the sons of Issachar, they knew how to interpret the meaning of all of these events. The sons of Issachar understood chronological time, but they also understood spiritual and political events or time. So The sons of Issachar could discern what God was doing and when. Now, they knew when one move of God was ending, when another one was beginning. They could discern when a leader was falling or another leader was rising. They could tell you who the next leader was going to be. They knew who to follow and when to follow him. And not only that, but the sons of Issachar also excelled in the knowledge of God's law. God's law. You better be in here. In these days and times, you know what? I want to be a guy that people can go to and they can ask me a question and I'm going to know what it is because I'm so into God's law. I'm so into God's word. You know what I mean? They were full of wisdom. In fact, God chose the sons of Issachar as one of three tribes to go out before them as they moved out. First of all, when they moved out, Judah would go out first because praise goes first. Worship goes first, right? Issachar went next, the wise, discerning ones, and then Zebulun was the financiers, and they would go out third. But the sons of Issachar were so sharp, so spiritually astute, that the whole nation depended on them to know what to do and when to do it. 1 Chronicles 12:32 says, "Of the sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command." So they supported King David even before David was anybody, even before David became king. When David was not a popular guy, he was not popular with King Saul. Saul was in power at the time, but before King David, the second king, began to reign, warriors from the 12 tribes started to gather around David. You guys know this. They started to gather around David. All the tribes were split in their support of David, except one tribe. Guess who? Issachar. One tribe. The tribe was Issachar. They were united in their support of David because they knew that God had called him to become king. They knew. They knew his time had come. They could discern the change in the time. It worked out well, too. The sons of Issachar had something special. Their ability to discern the times, the seasons, was an incredible advantage. They weren't taken by surprise when things happened. They had influence as a result of their unique ability to understand all of this. They knew what Israel should do and when, and the nation followed their example. And I believe we can have this blessing. You know, I've heard of it called the anointing. I don't know about that word, but we can have the blessing that they had. I guess we could call it an anointing. We can have this blessing like the sons of Issachar. We can have the same ability to discern the times and the seasons as these guys, I believe. And how? First of all, recognize that God's not a respecter of persons, right? Romans chapter 2, verse 11, there's no partiality with God. Acts 10:34, Peter says the same thing, no partiality with God. So he's willing to give us the same ability. So know that in Christ, these things, this belongs to us. Galatians 3, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed be everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith." So, since we're adopted into God's family through Christ, we're entitled to all the same blessings as Abraham. That's what I take. So we can have whatever God gave the Jews, just ask. I want to be a son of Issachar. I just got so into this study because I want to know what's going on. People are calling me up and they're just, today, are they asking you questions or what? They want to know, is there church? And what about this? And what about that? And well, just ask. Whatever, we can have whatever God gave the Jews if we just ask God. You know, ask God for the ability that he gave the sons of Issachar. Ask him to give you the ability to discern the times and the seasons and always know what to do. But you better be in here, too. You better be in the Word. All of God's promises are available to us. So after you ask, start paying attention, and when you discern that something new is about to happen, when you discern a reluctance to make a decision just yet, because you're discerning that something's going on, I don't want to use the word feel either. I don't like that. Well, I feel. No, sense maybe. When you sense or discern something isn't quite time, when you sense that you should maybe not make a big decision right now, or you sense something new's coming, there's a new door about to open. When God leads you to stand for something or someone that's biblically supported but isn't popular, maybe. I think we have a tendency to do that. We might stand up for a guy who Biblically, he's right on, but it's not real popular to do so. When God starts to influence you and people follow your example, that could be the anointing, that could be the blessing. If you're praying for that, if you're asking for that, that could be that blessing. So again, that could be him answering the prayer that if you ask him for this, so ask for it. In Numbers 2, according to the Targum is like a paraphrased Hebrew scripture book and everything, but according to that, Numbers 2, it says, the sons of Issachar were astronomers. And you know what, not astrologers, when I think of astronomers, I think they were watchers. I like that. I like that idea, watching. Sometimes when I think of watching, I think of praying, watching, being ready. Are we ready or are we kind of dull to what's going on? Are we watching, you know? I like these guys. The sons of Issachar had understanding, again, to know the times. They were skilled in fixing the beginning of years, the commencement of months, the calculating of months and years, proper times, skillful also in the doctrine of the solar periods, the signs of stars, that they might know and show Israel what to do. And then it says that their teachers were 200 chiefs of the Sanhedrin, and all their brethren excelled in the words of the law. They were endued with wisdom and were obedient to their command. So it appears that in their wisdom, experience, and skill, their brothers had the fullest confidence in these guys too. And nothing was done but by their direction and by their advice. They had great skill above any of their neighbors. They could discern the face of the sky, so they could discern what weather patterns were coming. They could tell you the weather, probably better than the guys today. But they'd advise their neighbors when to plow, when to sow, when to reap, all this. They called the people to the mountain for sacrifice in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 19. They were well aware of the political times. They understood public affairs, the temper of the nation, and the tendencies of the present events. And it's supposed to be the duty of statesmen that they know the times. You know, in Esther chapter 1 is a good example of that, I guess. But these guys were greatly intent on public affairs. They had good intelligence from abroad, and I mean information, intelligence, reports, info, and they made good use of it. And from their observation and experience, they learned both their own and others' duties and interests. And at this critical time right here, they knew Israel ought to make David king. They just knew David should be the king. It wasn't just expedient, it was necessary with the present state of affairs. He's the man that stood out. It was called for. So the men of Issachar could deal in business, but didn't necessarily meddle in public affairs. They took the opportunity of observing others. From their observation and experience, they learned both their own and others' duties, and they see David as the candidate who's standing out above all others to be king at this time. So again, great interest, because all their brethren were at their command, 1 Chronicles 12. They also bowed their shoulder to the burden. These guys would work. If they were called on to work, the leaders knew these guys could be counted on. Can you be counted on when a leader say, hey, we need a bunch of guys, man. Can you come? Well, I don't know. You know, my back's hurting today. I mean, we have a lot of excuses, I know, but they bowed their shoulder to bear, Genesis 49:15. So leaders counted on these guys being there, and even for labor. We read of the princes of Issachar going to war, Judges 5:15. They went to war. These guys did it all. Smart guys. They knew what had to be done. You know what I mean? I want to be like that. I want to challenge you guys who want to be like that. I want to challenge you guys to pray for this. They knew how to rule, and the rest knew how to obey. Down through the ages, whenever God's done a significant work, he's done it through a band of committed people, usually men. God doesn't work through the lukewarm. Have you noticed that? I have. He works through those who are fervent in their love for the Lord and his kingdom. And that's the case when David's kingdom was established. Through David's reign, the name of the Lord God of Israel was published far and abroad. But great as he was, David didn't stand alone. So we know this. You've heard this before. Surrounding him was this great band of guys. They just started coming to him. A mighty group of men who accomplished great feats of valor. They were committed to David and his kingdom, and we read of them in 2 Samuel 23, verses 8 through 19. Or 39, sorry, you could turn there if you want. I might go too fast to like really spend much time there, but if God's gonna accomplish a great work in us, in you guys, in any of us, then he wants to raise up a band of mighty men in our midst who can do great exploits for God. Now you're thinking, I'm nobody special. Well, neither am I. But we might do great exploits for the Lord in somebody else's eyes. Maybe you just go over to your neighbor and you tell him about the Lord. That's a great exploit for him if he gets saved, isn't it? Well, anyways, in saying mighty men, I'm emphasizing the need for strong men of faith. I don't care how much you can bench press. I can bench press more than you. No, I'm just kidding. But it's the need for strong men of faith. That's the idea. You know, guys like to think they're strong and everything. It's the faith that needs to be strong. The New Testament makes it clear that God desires men to be in spiritual leadership in the home and in the church. We know this. But the church today needs a band of mighty men like these surrounding David. I know if you're watching stuff, do you see the church is weak right now? Do you see men as kind of lame right now? I'm challenging you guys tonight. I think we're lame. What characterized these guys? Two things. They were attracted to David's person and they were committed to his cause. The church needs mighty men who are attracted to the person of Jesus Christ and they're committed to his cause. We need this, don't we? These two characteristics are related. It's the attraction to David's person that motivated these cells to commit themselves to David's cause. And with us, it's going to be our attraction to the person of the Lord Jesus that will motivate us to commit ourselves to his cause. The church needs mighty men who are attracted to the person of Christ. And David's men weren't unwilling grunts. They knew what they were doing. They were more than willing to get in there. They weren't just guys fulfilling their duty. They were willing volunteers to serve out of devotion to David. These guys had a love for David. The love these guys had for David is seen in the incident in 2 Samuel 23, verses 13 through 17. You know the story. David's hiding from Saul in the cave of Adullam. And he's got a bunch of guys with him and everything. The Philistines are down in Bethlehem, David's home. And David remembers the cool water from the well in Bethlehem when I was a little boy. Man, I remember those days, you know. And I guess maybe think, you know, without thinking, he just blurts it out. And he says, oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate, verse 15. 2 Samuel 23, verse 15. And it wasn't a command, but David probably wouldn't say that if he knew these guys were going to risk their lives just to go get him a drink of water. You know, he probably wouldn't have said it. So David's, you know, so touched by this, he couldn't even drink it. And he pours it out in dedication to the Lord. He poured it out to the Lord, verse 16, but he acknowledged the sacredness of the devotion of these guys and his own deep appreciation of their love for him. And they undoubtedly shared a close bond of love, these guys. What kind of men were attracted to David, though? Look, men of diverse backgrounds. All kinds of backgrounds. If we look at this list, we find a variety of obscure places that these guys come from. We see Uriah the Hittite in here. He was a foreigner. Many of them were. None of them seem to have anything noteworthy as far as who they are or where they come from, where they grew up or anything like that. Their families, they're like all hick towns. By the way, a hick town's a place where you can park as long as you want to, but you don't want to. But these guys are like from hick towns. And to me, there's one thing that united these guys. They're all attracted to David. He's their hero. He's their rallying point, someone that they can all rally around. In 2 Samuel 21, verses 15 through 17, David's getting old by this time. You know how we are? We get old and we still think we can do it all? We still think we can do these things? Well, David's getting old. He grew weary in battle. He's almost killed. But Abishai, one of the mighty men, slew the giant who almost killed David. So David's men tell him, you know, you're not going out to battle with us anymore. And the reason is that you may not extinguish the lamp of Israel. Your life's too valuable. 2 Samuel 21, 17. So they're men of diverse backgrounds, but they're all drawn together because of their attraction for the lamp of Israel. And I couldn't stop thinking, hey, we're from various educational and vocational, economic, geographic, family, and even racial backgrounds. But we need to be a unified band because we're all attracted to the light of the world, Jesus Christ. The light of the world, the Lord Jesus. He's captured our hearts. Listen, if he hasn't captured your heart, really, pray with me before you leave here. I'll pray with you. I'll stay all night. But if he hasn't captured, has he really captured your heart? Really? If there's anybody here that's doubtful, please let him capture your heart tonight, please. Because we love him, we love one another. don't we? Because we love him, we love one another. No matter what kind of background we're from, no matter what we look like or anything, no matter how different our backgrounds, they were men of difficult backgrounds. 1 Samuel 22:2 tells us that these guys weren't Boy Scouts. They're men who were distressed. They're under the reign of Saul. They're in debt. They're discontent. It's a motley crew that assembles around David. They gather around David in that cave. Look at this group. They're men with problems, with things in their past to overcome. But David accepts them, and then he trains them up into his loyal fighting army. And the same way it is with the Lord Jesus, isn't it? He doesn't require that we solve all our problems before we come to him. He doesn't ask us to do that. He accepts those in distress and in debt, discouraged, and he molds them into a band of mighty men for his cause. He doesn't care where you came from or what you like when you're coming. He just wants you to come. He'll take care of everything once you do that. I like that. Anybody at all. You know, he cleans his fish after he catches. You know what? He accepts you in distress, debt, discouraged. He'll mold you into a band of mighty men. Why not? Why not sign up for this? You know, Lord, this is me. I want this. Tonight, this guy's challenging me. I want to be like this. I want to be on fire in these last days. Who can't figure that we're in the last times? Don't you want to be on fire? You're alive now. There's a reason for that. You're alive now. If this is the last times, that's a pretty special thing. He's chosen you to be alive right now. Think about that. So anyway, in fact, you know what? The guy who's self-sufficient and self-satisfied isn't going to be attracted to the Lord. But like these guys who feel the pain of poverty and life under the current ruler of this world, we'll see the beauty of the anointed king who's waiting for them. Us, we'll see the beauty of our king. You know, we're not under the present rule of the ruler of this world either. These guys will gladly join themselves to David. Will you gladly join yourself to Christ? These were men also drawn to the person of David. What kind of person? The person, a rejected person. He was rejected, wasn't he? Well, these men were drawn to David. He's a fugitive. He's running for life from Saul. So David's a type of the Lord Jesus, who came unto his own people, and they didn't receive him. They rejected him too. And following such a rejected Savior, it's not going to make us popular with the ruler of this world and his followers either, is it? You know, Hebrews 13:13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Let's go out to him. Let's go to him. Let's go. I mean, why follow a rejected David in the cave? Why follow a crucified, rejected Savior? Because he was also an anointed person too, wasn't he? Some men have rejected David and followed Saul, but God rejects Saul and he anoints David. He was God's choice. You know what? I like how the men of Issachar just knew that. This is God's choice. By allying themselves with David, these men became the enemies of Saul. They knew what they were doing. By making David their captain, they declared themselves to be in rebellion against Saul. They're men who had exchanged masters, and now they serve a different kingdom, a kingdom yet to come, the kingdom of God's anointed David. So in the same way, we've submitted ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's anointed, his Messiah. We believe he's coming again to establish his kingdom. Now, we willingly choose to become enemies of the kingdom of darkness in this present evil world system in order to further the kingdom of God's anointed, don't we? Amen. So he's our captain. I like to think we would rally around him no matter what he asks you to do. Is there anything Jesus would say, I want you to do this, and you would say no? You ever think of that? He's our captain. The one mark of a mighty man in the Lord's church is that he's attracted to and he's captivated by the person of Jesus Christ. Not just attracted, captivated by. You know what? Pray, ask the Lord, Lord, I really want to understand grace, because, man, when I start to understand his grace, it blows me away. It humbles me. It just melts me, and I think, I don't deserve this. And then I think about how much he loves me, and then I fall in love more. So are you attracted to him? Are you captivated by the person of Jesus Christ? Think about that. Can I ask you guys a personal question? How's your love life? Not with your wife. Although that's a good indicator of your relationship with the Lord. How's it going on with a wife? I mean, do you love her? Do you cherish her? Or do you treat her lousy? Because maybe then you're not really, your relationship with Jesus isn't going all that great either. You don't know how to treat your wife. But what I'm saying, though, not your wife, how's your love relationship with Jesus? Do you love him? Do you really love Jesus? Is your relationship with the captain of your soul marked by duty or devotion? Think about it. You've got to work at recovering that first love, man. For him, as your first priority, the attraction of these mighty men were for the person of David. They had for the person of David motivates them to commit themselves to the cause of David. And I think the church needs mighty men today who are committed to the cause of Christ. In David's day, there were enemies to be overthrown. There were kingdoms to repel, turn back, and conquer. So the people of God could dwell securely in the land. So the worship of God could be established in the name of God. God's name exalted among the heathen nations. And things haven't changed, you know. They haven't changed. We look at these guys and we think, well, things are so different now. Not really. Today, the powers of darkness got to be repulsed. They got to be conquered. The people of God must learn to worship him. And the name of God must be proclaimed by every tribe and tongue and nation. And what are you doing? I know, I told him I was going to challenge you guys. What are you doing? Really, what are you doing? That's for you to answer. Think about this. Because I'm not just throwing this stuff out. The Lord did this to me first. Well, what are you doing, Jim? So what are you doing? Think about it. In other words, the Lord hasn't called us to sit in some holy huddle or something. There's a cause. It's the great cause of Christ, the cause of world evangelization. And those who are attracted to the person of Jesus Christ got to commit their lives to the cause of Jesus Christ. The cause is a great cause. It's the cause of God's kingdom. There's no greater cause than that either. David's mighty men realized that David's kingdom was the center of God's kingdom on earth. God's kingdom's a kingdom that spans the ages. It spans the nations. God promised Abraham that he'd establish a great nation from his descendants. God promised David that his house and his kingdom would endure forever. 2 Samuel 7:16. And we have the privilege of advancing his kingdom today. Or not. It's up to you, right? Whether you want to get in on this, when you want to participate. It's also a kingdom that spans all times, all nations. God chose Israel to be a light to the Gentiles. And today, that's the church. The church today is supposed to proclaim his kingdom to the uttermost parts of the earth. I think the church is lame today, guys. I do. I really do. They're not standing up when they're supposed to speak out. They're kind of sitting back waiting, you know, well, maybe the Lord will come and I won't have to worry about this. It's true. It really is. So, again, the Lord hasn't called us to just sit back and be a bunch of isolated people for his cause. It's a team effort. So we're part of the body, and every part is essential. You know, there's a lot of things you can do. You know, and the thing you want to do is you want to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me? What do you want me to do? Are you even praying that in the first place? It's a team effort. Not all of us can attain to the greatness of these mighty men, but we're on the team, and we all have important tasks given to us by our captain. Maybe you just need to have your eyes open to what those things are. But we must commit ourselves wholeheartedly to it. Now note the commitment of these mighty men. The commitment is a commitment that overcomes the odds with faith in God. You know, we were in the faith chapter today in the college. Faith. All day long was faith. Well, these guys, their commitment is a commitment that overcomes all odds by their faith. That's how they do it. 2 Samuel 23:8 through 21. They're outnumbered. They're fighting lions. They're fighting giants. 1 Chronicles 11:23. In every case, these mighty men faced impossible odds. So do we. But notice chapter 23, verse 10 and 10 through 12. The Lord brought about a great victory. The Lord brought about the great victory. He does it. So these men, they weren't considering the odds for victory. They're looking for the God of victory. Let's face it, the odds against us are pretty stacked up, aren't they? Really, when we serve Christ. The world has us outnumbered. We face situations that seem overwhelming against us. But there's always enough people sitting on the sidelines pointing out the size of the giants in the land. We need some mighty men whose commitment to the cause overcomes the odds with faith in the living God. A commitment that endures exhaustion. You know, 2 Samuel 23:10, Eliezer was so tired, he couldn't open his hand after the battle because he was holding that sword so tight, he couldn't pry his hand open. He was so into the battle, when the battle was over. I don't know how long it took Dino the Esnite to knock off 800 men on one occasion, or how he did it, chapter 23, verse 8, but I know he was exhausted when it was over. And you know what? You can count on being tired if you commit yourself to serve Christ. Not tired of serving, tired in it, not tired of it. Not tired of serving, but tired in serving. But it's a great feeling to go to bed at night exhausted because you've served the Lord all day. Man, oh man, can you sleep then? You served him. The commitment will annoy the attitude of the crowd. Look at 2 Samuel 23, verse 9. The Israelite warriors had fled. The people of God were retreating. If you took a vote, it would have been a landslide in favor of surrender. But these mighty men ignored the majority and they stood alone for God. The cowards return later for the spoils too. 23:10. They benefited from the courage of these men who they would have called fools earlier, a few hours earlier. If the church is going to go forward and conquer for Christ, it can't be operated as a pure democracy. The majority often gives in to the world, but God's looking for mighty men of commitment who will spurn the attitude of the majority, the crowd, who take a stand for Christ to win great victories for him. So a commitment which takes initiative. These guys weren't passive. They weren't just on the defensive. They were on the offensive too. 2 Samuel 23, 20 and 21. It's impressive enough to kill a lion in a pit, but on a snowy day, I like that. On a snowy day too, most of us would be glad to just go in the house and put on a sweater if we ran into a lion on a snowy day. But a lion in a pit. But this guy, Benaiah, he went after the lion and he killed it. He also went after an 8-foot Egyptian who had a spear. I mean, can I borrow that spear? Psh, thanks, you know. I mean, he takes the spear away from the guy and he beats him with his own spear. I like that. Do you know what's one of the greatest problems in Christianity today? I do a lot of counseling. You know what's one of the greatest problems in Christianity today? Passive men. That's the number one problem. That's the number one problem in counseling Christian families. Passive males. Do your wives take the initiative to train up your kids in the ways of the Lord? Or do you do it? Do you find your wife doing it all the time? Think about this. Passive males. If your kids receive spiritual training in the home, is your wife the one who does it? See, we need mighty men in the church who will take the initiative in spiritual matters, spiritual leadership. How many of you guys have been asked to teach Sunday school and you don't have a good reason, but you say, no, I can't. You don't have a good reason. You just don't want to. I used to have to go around and find guys to teach Sunday school. We had 3 services back how many years ago? We had 100 volunteers in the Sunday school. And when I was trying to find people to teach Sunday school, I couldn't. So I'd teach 3 classes. I mean, you just couldn't find it. But it doesn't mean barking commands at your family. It means setting the example in love of Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ, and serving your family, and serving others too. So our commitment, I think our commitment should risk life itself if necessary. Would you lay down your life for the Lord? I know you probably won't have to, but can you die to self? So anyways, these mighty men risked their lives because of their commitment to David and his cause. You know, during the early days of the African missions, white men were going into Africa and they were missionaries. The area became known as the white man's graveyard, believe it or not. And the missionaries still came, but they came with more determination. The next time they came back with all their supplies loaded in coffins. Like, well, we're going to bring the coffin too because we might need it. But they're bringing all their stuff in coffins and everything. And the Africans were so amazed with this determination, they said only a message of great importance would inspire such actions. So as a comfortable American Christian, it's hard to relate to that kind of dedication, isn't it? They said only a message of great importance would inspire such actions. Now, I don't know whether we'll ever have to face the possibility of risking our lives for the cause of Christ, but I do know if you've been a convenience Christian, you know, and I call them convenient Christians, you attend church when it's convenient, you support the cause of Christ financially when it's convenient, you're willing to serve when it's convenient, then you're not going to risk your life for the cause of Christ when it's on the line. You're not going to be that kind of guy. You're not going to do that. You won't, if it ever comes to that. God wants to raise up a band of mighty men who are attracted to the person of Jesus Christ and committed to his cause. I know I've said that about 5 times already, but where do we start? If your heart's grown cold, start there. Is your heart cold? Maybe that's why you're here tonight. You're here, you know, for a reason. Because you're hearing this, and the Lord's challenging you, and it's 2020, and you're a man, and you're a Christian, and if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and your heart's grown cold, tonight's the night to warm it back up again. Tonight's that night. If your heart's grown cold and complacent toward Jesus, start there. The Lord directed the church at Ephesus that it had lost its first love. Do your first works over again. You ever have to do that? Do your first works over again? You know what? Just do it. Just go to the Lord. Pour out your heart. Tell him you love him. Tell him how grateful you are for what he's done. Start over again. He's waiting. You know, when we look at the prodigal son, that's God. It's a picture of God and we're the prodigal son coming back. I mean, they had lost their first love. He says, remember where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Remember what the Lord's done for you. Take the time and spend it with him every day. There's nothing that's going to suffice or replace that. Nothing. You need to spend time in his presence. You need to spend time in his word. You have to. Every single day. Work on your love life with Jesus Christ. Could you just say to anybody out there in the world, I love Jesus Christ. Is there anybody that would intimidate you so much that you couldn't say that to them? Think about that. You know, it's drudgery or labor without love. It's laziness to love without labor. So once we rekindle that first love for him, then get off the bench. Get up off the bench. I hated being on the bench. I made up my mind when I was a kid. I ain't sitting on that bench. I want to be in that game. So if you're on the bench, get off. Commit yourself to this cause. Commit yourself to the cause in the church. Do the deeds you did at first. Maybe you used to serve and you're not doing it anymore. And you feel dry and you feel blah. Get back out there. Get back in the game. Do the first deeds again. We need men to work with youth. We need men to work on repairing churches and buildings. We need men to be leaders. We need men to be Sunday school teachers. We need men. And I'm challenging guys everywhere I go. We need men. Let's be men again. They're trying to make us wimps today. They are. It's society. We need men to lead families, to build other men in Christ, to be involved in missions. We need to be alert like Issachar. Seriously, commit your time and your effort and your money to the great cause of Christ and seek to make him known in this community. Why not? What do you got to lose? And we're so afraid. Maybe it's somebody next door. You just need to go tell them about Christ. Is that really that hard? These men would jump into a snowy pit and slay a lion. But I'm afraid of the old lady next door, man. She's going to reject me. You know what I mean? Oh. Let's not be church light. You know, the light church, there's light bread, there's light beer, there's church light. Don't be like that. Let's not be the home of fewer commitments. Jesus loved us and he gave himself for us. Society today is so increasingly anxious. What do we see on the news today? Man, everybody's freaking out. They're going nuts. Society's so anxious today. We're anxious for our loved ones. We're anxious for ourselves. But it's a time of fear. But whatever happens, guys, know this. Think about this, okay? Just take this phrase home. This is our time. This is our time. Their time was back then. This is our time. Us. We're alive now. There's a reason why you're alive right now in these end times. I think it's a very responsible thing that he has waiting for us, man. Here we are in the last times. You're here tonight for a reason. We're here. God's raised us up for such a time as this. The end times. In the end times, you're here for them. So, it's no accident you're here right now. This is our time. Not to think about ourselves, but about our neighbors. Many of them are scared, and it's going to get worse when this virus spreads. I was telling the college guys that I was teaching in Psalm 121 a couple weeks ago, and I did a study on shade, shadow, and shield. You know, the warrior would hold the shield, and the Lord is the shade on our right hand. The right hand holds the sword. The shield would put shade on the right hand. But you get into it, you get shadow, the shadow of his wings, the shade of the Lord. Shade, shade, shade. And I thought, you don't have shadows without the sun. So he's shading us from the sun. You know what the outer ring of the sun is called? Corona. So there's a lot of people scared, and it's going to get worse if this virus spreads. Use that as an opportunity. Why don't we use that as an opportunity to bring words of faith to others, to encourage them to put their trust in the Lord? I mean, they're all worried right now. This is a perfect opportunity. They're freaking out. They're looking for something. Bring them Jesus right now. So it's a good time to let your friends, your coworkers, and your neighbors know that no matter what happens in this world, we can enjoy eternal life in the presence of God. So that's all. I mean, I just wanted to challenge you guys. I know maybe you're, if it convicted you, good. If you're mad at me, good. Just think of the times we're in. I want to be a man of Issachar. I want to be a mighty man. I don't mean a man who can kick somebody's butt. A man of faith that's, I'm not going to melt. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to surrender. I hope you guys are like that too. We need guys today, guys, because society today is trying to make us all into wimpy guys. Commit yourself to Christ. Commit yourself to His cause. Fall in love with Him, man. Go home and say, you know, Jim challenged me on that, man. I don't know where my love life with Jesus is. I don't even really know if I really love Jesus. I like Him. I mean, He's my Savior, and He's a great guy. Do you love Him? Is there anything that you would not do for Him? If He was here right now, is there something He could come up with and tell you to do that you would say, I can't do that? Think about that. Because He's actually doing that. He's doing that all the time. He's doing it to you right now. Let's pray. Father, I just pray for these guys, and I pray we accept Your challenges. We commit our lives to the person of Jesus Christ and to the cause of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that men would step up to the plate. Men would get off the bench. Lord, we can ask You for this anointing. We can ask You for the power of the Holy Spirit. We can ask You to give us understanding in Your word. We have way more than these guys had. Lots more. We should be of greater faith than they were. So, Lord, I pray that. I pray hearing the word of God will increase our faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So, Lord, I pray that we're in the word of God continually, constantly. We're being challenged. Lord, I pray that we never leave our devotion time with You and Your word until we've been challenged. And then we go off and we take it. We take the challenge. Father, bless us. Bless these guys. Get them all home safe. Lord, whatever it is You're piercing our heart with tonight, I pray we'd accept Your challenge in Jesus' name. Amen.